All right, we're going to get into a new series today called Red Letters. And does anybody have one of those old school Bibles, the red letter edition, where the words of Jesus are in red? Well, that's kind of what we're basing this on, is that this entire series is going to be based upon exclusively the words of Jesus. And so the whole series is going to be based on what he says. And I'm just going to tell you, when you don't know what to read in your Bible, I don't know about you, but sometimes I reach those points where, you know, you're reading through your Bible, then you get to Leviticus, and it just gets kind of dry, and it's like, just flip a few pages over to the Gospels and start reading the words of Jesus. Because all Scripture is inspired by God, we believe that, but there's something about the direct words of Jesus Christ. And there's a scripture that we're going to be using kind of as our basis for this whole series, and that's John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken," everybody say it, "are spirit and life." The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In other words, that when we read the words of Jesus, it's just like the Holy Spirit just breathes upon us, and life is formed inside of us. And as we see those red letters up there, I want you to let them really come into your life and receive everything that God is trying to tell you. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says this, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?'" And kind of this first installment, I want to talk about following Jesus in the red letters. What it means to follow Jesus. What the implications are to follow Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times now our presentation of the gospel is like Jesus is this really desperate, homeless person who just needs somebody to give him a ride home. Won't someone please let him in your heart? Please do this for Jesus. And that's really not the picture we have of him in the Gospels. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the God who made you. And whether you decide to accept him or not, his program and what he's doing in the earth is going to keep on going. The question is, are you going to get on board? All right? And so, yes, we want to accept Jesus. I get that. But at the same time, there are some implications for that decision that's not to be taken lightly. And before I get into this today, I don't want to try to discourage anyone and think that you have to become some type of super Christian overnight to follow Jesus. That's not what I'm preaching. But at the same time, he is looking for committed people. He is looking for people that will surrender their whole life to them. And I'm a little bit afraid to preach this today because I'm afraid that it might talk some of you out of following Jesus. So many times we're trying to talk people into following Jesus as like he's helpless. But today I want to present a very strong Jesus who's not afraid to put demands on your life. He's not afraid to ask you to do things. Why? Because he's Lord of all. And so all of us have to make a decision what we're going to do with him. Are we going to follow him with our lives? Or are we going to do our own thing? And the road that follows Jesus is the road less traveled. Most people aren't really following Jesus. And I want to throw this out there. Calling yourself a Christian and actually following Jesus are two very, very different things. Lots of people call themselves Christians. You can throw whatever label you want to put on yourself. But when we talk about following Jesus, that was his call to discipleship. When he met his disciples, he said, "Come follow me." What he was doing was inviting them into his way of life and to the calling that he had for them, which would eventually lead to their death. But today we all know them. Why? Because they follow Jesus and they were faithful. And in this scripture that we just read, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, they're going to have to do three things. Number one, they're going to have to deny themselves. What does it mean to deny yourself? It means to tell yourself, no, you're not in charge anymore. You're not Lord anymore. You don't decide what you do anymore. You don't decide where you go anymore. Jesus is Lord of your life. And then he says, take up your cross. In other words, take up your own, the instrument that will be your own method of execution, and follow me. Wow, not many amens on that one. Doesn't sound like somebody who's been to marketing school, does it? If you were trying to sell a product, if you were trying to gain followers, I doubt you would walk into the middle of town or get on national TV and say, hey, I'm looking to build a religion. Here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself, take away all of your rights, and pick up your electric chair and follow me. Not many people buy that, do they? Lots of people following Jesus when he's giving away free food at the feeding of the 5,000, right? And then, like the next chapter, he starts preaching about discipleship. And it says that the whole crowd got up and left. So imagine I'm preaching today, and we gave everybody a free Twinkie when they came in. And I said, oh, by the way, you need to take up your cross and follow me. And like everybody leaves but two of you. Well, that's what happened to Jesus. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody today. I believe that God has grace. And somebody said it best that, you know, salvation is free, but it also costs you everything. That if you fall in love with Jesus, it's going to cost you something. If you follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. And any presentation of the gospel that doesn't present that truth isn't the real gospel. Because there's a treasure in the cost, and we're going to talk about that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, he said, enter by what? The narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to what? Destruction. And those who enter it are how many? Many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So just kind of picture this, that the way to destruction, the way to hell is like a 10-lane freeway that's filled with people going the wrong way. And then off to the side of the road, there's this little path that's up a hill, and it's very narrow, and it's very difficult, and very few people are leaving the freeway to get on the path to life. And as Jesus said in the previous scripture that I read in Matthew chapter 16, he says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? And I want to tell you, do whatever you have to do to be committed and following Jesus on that narrow path. Don't consult with what culture is saying. Don't consult with what the crowd is saying. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because that is the only thing that matters in life, is following Jesus. How many here today are committed to following Jesus? How many are going to follow him no matter where he leads? That's what I want. So most people choose not to follow Jesus because what? It's difficult. It costs. It's not cheap. Why do you think most people are following the way of the world? I think it's because they want to be comfortable. They want to be accepted. They want to have security. And sometimes following Jesus doesn't give you any of those things. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. It's like somebody stumbles across this abandoned lot, let's just say Herrick, that looks completely worthless. And they get to dig it around and they find billions of dollars worth of treasure. And so they take all the money that they have, they go to the bank, they ask family, friends, they do whatever they have to do to get the money that they need to buy that field. Why? Because it might look worthless to everyone else, but they know there's treasure there. Why? Because they have a revelation that other people don't have. And when you really encounter Jesus and when you really fall in love with Jesus, you'll have that same attitude, that you'll get rid of anything that doesn't has nothing to do with that. You'll get rid of anything that keeps you from that treasure. Why? Because you know that there's value. And to everyone else, to your family, to your friends, it might look ridiculous. Why are you going to that church? Why are you changing your life? Why are you tithing to that church? Why are you doing all those things? And you know that there's a treasure that is eternal that nobody can see yet. Anybody discovered that treasure? And his name's Jesus. So the cost of following Jesus doesn't begin to compare to the treasure and the reward that comes with it. And the cost of following him, if you truly believe him, will often be costly. But it will also be joyful. Why? Because if you truly believe, you believe in the reward. You believe that Jesus meant what he said when he said that in my house there are many mansions. You believe what Jesus said when he says that he's coming and he's going to set all things right. So I want to give you three things today that you need to know, three things you need to consider before you follow Jesus. And I really mean this. But before you get into the waters of baptism and you say, I'm bringing the death of me and I'm in this thing, I'm all in, you need to ask yourself these three questions. Number one, you need to consider the cost of following Jesus. You need to consider the cost. You need to think about, what is this going to cost me? And Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, he said, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In other words, Jesus says, you know, nobody starts to build a house without thinking, okay, how much are we going to spend? And are we willing to spend that much? Are we willing to change our lifestyle to afford that house? Nobody just goes to Paris on a vacation without asking the question, hopefully no one does this, how much is this going to cost us? Can we afford this? Can we afford the air travel? Can we afford food? Can we afford hotel? All those things. Well, you count the cost before you do those things. And Jesus says it's the same way when you choose to follow me. You need to think about how much this is going to cost you. You see, Jesus isn't trying to throw the wool over our eyes. He's not trying to get us into something and then 4 weeks later, he pulls out some fine print and says, oh, I forgot to show you this. He's not some kind of used car salesman who's trying to rip us off, right? He wants us to know, and he lets us know what we're in for when we choose to follow him. And you need to consider that. What does following Jesus look like, and what are the implications? Well, here are a few things. It might cost you friendships. That when you decide to follow him and say, you know what, I'm going to leave the ways of the world. I'm going to leave my life of sin. And I'm going to stop doing those things that I've been doing that's been hurting me and hurting God. You're going to have people in your life who will leave you, who will mock you, and will try to put you down. It might lead to the loss of family. There might be family that say, if you decide to do that with your life, if you decide to follow the call of God in your life, and you leave here, you're not in the will. You're not going to be in the family functions. You're going to be on the outside. It might require you to give up comfort. It might require you to leave that job that pays you well and which you're comfortable, and it might require you to do something else. You might actually even be persecuted. Imagine that in America. There might be people on the job who set you up for failure, who do things intentionally to make you look stupid. There might be a loss of rights. There might be things in our life that everybody else gets to do, but we don't do. Why? Because we follow Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you're really following Jesus, at some point in time in your spiritual walk, you're going to experience all of those things. It's going to cost you something. I know people in this church that when they came into this church, God radically changed their life. And you know what's strange is sometimes there are family members that they would rather somebody be addicted than on fire for Jesus. And so family members let them go. And they had to choose, am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to follow the family? And I'm so happy that I see so many of them chose to follow Jesus. They chose the narrow path. There's going to be people that have expectations on you, and they expect you to be one thing. But when Jesus calls you, you say, I can't live there anymore. I have to do something else with my life. And it might be your parents want you to do one thing with your life, but Jesus called you into something else that looks radically different. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And I just want to tell you, one of the most blessed things that you can experience, and this goes totally counter to our way of thinking because we've become so comfortable here in America, but one of the blessed things that you can experience is to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. And nobody's shouting, no one's raising their hands to volunteer, but I really believe that when you are persecuted for the name of Jesus, that there is a blessing that comes upon you. Why? Because you are identifying so closely with him and with his life, because he gave up his life for us. And so when we say, you know what, I love the people around me, but their opinion is not God. The only opinion that matters is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to follow him. I'm going to please him. I'm done trying to please mom and dad. I'm done trying to please a boss. I'm done trying to please a football coach. I want to please Jesus Christ with my whole life. And I'm going to follow him with my heart. Does anybody believe that today? Does anybody feel that way today? I wonder if I can get some people to stand and say, God, I'm committed to you. I'm going to follow you. No matter what happens in my life, no matter the sacrifice, I'm going to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 15, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. In other words, if you're really following Jesus, there's going to be some people that hate you. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. And then listen to this, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Young people, if you choose to follow Jesus, don't expect to be the most popular person in your high school. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with popularity. We should be a light wherever we're at. We should be nice to people, and we should give people every reason to like us. But there's going to be some people that they're not going to like your lifestyle. They're not going to like it when you choose to go against the crowd. You know, here's the thing about the world is they really want to present this image that a rebel is somebody who does everything that culture says. You ever think about that? And we've come to a point in our culture now where the real rebels are the people who do what God says. Just this week I heard a story of a politician who publicly said that he would never eat with a woman alone because he wants to honor his wife and he wants to honor the covenant he made and he doesn't want there to be a temptation. And you know what happened on TV? They ridiculed him and made him to look stupid. That's where we're at in our culture now, is that if you do common sense things around purity, you're called stupid. You're made to look like a stupid person or an idiot. And I want to tell you that I would rather care about God's opinion. I would rather follow Jesus than the people on TV like me. And that's where we have to be. And I want to tell you, we're getting in a point in our culture where there's going to be some things that we're going to have to stand for, and it might cost you your job. And I'm not trying to scare people, but we've seen things happen in the last 10 years that we said, oh, that would never happen, and it's happening. And you have to have your mind made up. This is my line. These are the convictions God gave me, and I'm not moving. And God will bless you. You may be persecuted, but God will bless you. How many is committed to the ways of God? How many is going to count it an honor to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? So number one, you need to count the cost. Those of you who are new into church, you need to count the cost. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to stand up and clap when you tell them about how God's changed your life. But you need to know the most important thing is that Jesus is pleased with you. Okay, number two, the second thing you need to do is consider the reward. Consider the reward. We talked about the cost, but I want to tell you, there's a reward for following Jesus. Matthew 5:12, he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you." In other words, righteous people at every generation have always been persecuted. And so it's nothing new, it's nothing strange. And Jesus said that when you're persecuted, great is your reward. And I just believe that people who have given up their life for the name of Jesus, people who have surrendered their very life, and when they were at the point of a gun or a point of a knife and said, "Renounce Jesus or die," and they said no, I believe that their reward in heaven is great, because there's scripture for that. And so we have to consider the reward, that there's more than the temporary suffering of this life, that I'm living for something greater. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come." In other words, Jesus said, here's the deal. Guys, I know that you have given up. In some cases, you've given up houses. You've given up lands. The disciples who followed him, they just left their businesses to follow him. They went all in. They gave up family relationships and went all in. And Jesus said, "Guys, here's the thing. I'm going to pay you back in this life. You don't have to wait until you die. I'm going to pay you back in this life. And then in the age to come, eye has not seen nor ear heard what I have prepared for you." And I want to tell you today, it's worth it. Following Jesus is worth it. That's not why we serve him. We serve him because we love him. But I want to tell you, it's worth every persecution. It's worth every put down. It's worth every sacrifice, because Jesus will honor the commitment that you made, and he will pay you back. I want to encourage somebody today, don't stop living for God. Don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil discourage you with temporary pleasures and a temporary lifestyle. I'm living for an eternal reward where no person can steal it and nobody can take it away, because Jesus has promised it. Let's think about this. Let's think of how God blesses us now. Can we do that? And again, that's not why we serve him, but it's still true. Number one, the weight and shame of sin is lifted from our heart. You can't put a price tag on that. Not one more day do you have to live under condemnation of what you should have done and could have done. It is finished by the blood of Jesus Christ. The weight of sin has been lifted from your heart, and you can come in and lift your hands without any condemnation and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for taking the weight of sin and shame out of my life." That's why it's important to lift your hands, because it signifies freedom and surrender. Number two, the power of sin is broken. You see, when before Jesus, you're a slave to sin. You don't even get to choose what you want to do. And people that say, "Well, you know, you Christians are in bondage." Really? You have to take drugs. You have to pay money for the lifestyle that you live that in the end harms you. So many times when people accuse us of living in bondage, remind them of the addictions and how much it cost them, the relationships it's cost them. Remind them of the worldly lifestyle that they live and how much it cost them, and they're a slave to those things. Well, now we have a new master, and his name is Jesus, but we're not slaves. We're now sons and daughters of the Most High, and we are completely free to live for him How many lives this life not because you have to, but you get to live for Jesus? You get to come to church. You get to encourage people. You get to love God. You get to obey God. Amen? Number three, God's with you. You can't put a price tag on God's presence, because when you go through the worst time of your life, and you will if you haven't yet, and just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you're free from those things. You're still going to go through storms, but God is with you. And how many knows you can't put a price tag on the presence of God? Give me the presence of God before you give me the best doctor in the world, before you give me the nicest house in the world, before you give me anything this world has to offer. I want to have the presence of God in my life. I want to have Jesus walking beside me, because where he is, I have nothing to fear. There is no lack wherever Jesus is at this morning. How many knows that God has blessed us tremendously? He's never failed us. He's never let us down yet. Amen? Can somebody testify to that today? Can somebody say that that's true? There may have been times where I asked him why he was letting me go through what I was going through, but he was always there with me. Now, it might have been after the storm that I realized that he was there, but he was. Number four, and this is what Jesus says, we have restored family and restored relationships when we follow him. You see, a lot of these guys, when they left their families and they left their business to follow Jesus, they gave those relationships up. And Jesus said, you know what, you're going to get brothers and sisters and moms and dads that you never knew. And I so love the CR hashtag forever family. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you might lose some of those drug friends. Yeah, you're probably going to lose some of those relationships. But I want you to look around and see all the brothers and sisters you just got. Maybe mom and dad stopped talking to you when you decided to live this kind of lifestyle. What I want to tell you, you need to find a good, experienced person in the church, some older people in the church that have been through some storms, and they can be a spiritual mom and dad to you who you can talk to, and they know what it's like to live for God in certain seasons of life. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm going to multiply your relationships through the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you people in your life who you would never have met had you, Peter, just stayed on that boat fishing. How many loves people? How many loves God's church? And number five, this is so important. Things we get in this present life is God takes responsibility for your life. When you follow him, God takes responsibility for your life. And I so loved what Reverend Brown said last week. So many times we try to prove ourselves to God. We try to do things for him, to try to make him happy. But when we're his son and daughter, he's already happy with us. And there's a great quote, and if you got your phone handy, you might write this down, type this in, or listen to the podcast and get it. But I believe it's absolutely true, and that is this: God takes full responsibility for the life that is completely devoted to him. God takes full responsibility for the life that is completely devoted to him. You see, we don't have to have the pressure to try to answer for everything when we're completely devoted to him. He has our life in our hands, and we trust him. We trust him with our life. And the only thing that matters is this, is that we fear and obey Jesus. And then lastly, God blesses us eternally. Now, I'm not going to get too into this, but I want to tell you, you think what, the best of us live 100 years, give or take, you know, some of us a little less. We need to lay off the quarter pounders at McDonald's. Some of us are going to get to our reward a little bit early if we don't be careful. But here's the thing, that living for God, when you think about it, it's a really good deal. God's just saying, give me these few decades, and I'm going to give you forever. And we can get into mansions and gold and streets of gold and all those things. What's heaven going to be like? I don't know. Jesus is going to be there. It's going to be good. All right? That's all you need to know. All right? All right, point number three. Consider the love of Jesus. Consider the love of Jesus. John 15 says this, "Greater love hath no man that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus gave his life for us. He loves us. He cares for us. Once you understand the love of God, it will change your life. Once you understand how far God went to save you, it'll change your life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is worth following, not because he's some dictator, not because he's some harsh dictator that's just trying to be your boss, trying to tell you what to do. Jesus is worth following because he loves you. The shepherd, he said, lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus loves you with a fierce love. Nobody loves you like Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to salvation. Not because of so many things that we could say, but precisely Jesus is the only God of salvation because he's the only God who died for you, who personally came and gave up his life for you. And if that doesn't change your life, there's nothing that will. And once you realize how much God loves you, it will change how you obey him. It'll change how you perceive him. It'll change how you view yourself. I'm a child of God, and I make no apologies for that whatsoever. I'm not perfect. I've done some things that make me feel ashamed, but Jesus loves me, and I'm his son. You're his son. You're his daughter. And once you really get that revelation, following him won't be that difficult of a decision. Why? Because he's worth it. Some of you have kids. Is it costly having those kids? Is it costly sometimes getting up in the middle of the night and all the things you have to go through with that? But I don't think any of us would say it's not worth it. Why? Because you love them. And when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, the sacrifices pale in comparison to the love that God has for us. Luke 9:26, Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory and the glory of the Father and all the holy angels." And my goal today is this, to make you fall in love with Jesus so deeply that the worst thing in the world you can think of is for him to be ashamed of you. I don't know about you, but one of the worst things I can think of is at the end of this life that Jesus would be ashamed of me. And I would rather people be ashamed of me than Jesus to be ashamed of me. I mean, that's why some of you need today, you need to draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm following Jesus." One of the ways that we show we're not ashamed of him is we go down in the waters of baptism and we identify with him and we let everyone know, "I'm all in." And he covers us with his identity. We've been baptized into Christ. There's something that happens there. And I think the reason God brought that way of identifying with him is because it requires a lot of humility, doesn't it? Sometimes we have to deny ourselves just to get in those waters of baptism. But I want to tell you, it's worth it because God will bless you when you identify with him. How many knows that that's true today? How many knows that it's worth following Jesus? There was a man Around the turn of the last century, his name was William Borden. He was a young man. His father was very wealthy, owned factories. But William had a radical conversion and a radical experience with Jesus Christ that changed his life. And his life was planned out. He was going to become the heir to the company. He would become very wealthy. He would go to Yale. He would follow in his father's footsteps and run the company. But when he had this experience with Jesus, he felt God calling him a different direction. And so after Yale, he told his father, "You know what? I feel that God's calling me to do his work." And he decided to leave the company in favor of evangelizing and doing missions. And his father cut off his finances. After that, he made a decision that really kind of sealed his fate, and that he completely renounced himself from his family in terms of he still loved them and everything, but he knew what the call of God required of him. And his father told him that he would never inherit anything from the company. Basically, he was going to be cut out of the will. And then he felt God calling him to China to be a missionary. And so he left, and at this point in time, he couldn't fly there. And so he took a boat, and he was going around the world, and he got to Egypt. And he contracted tuberculosis, and he died. Some people would say it was a wasted life. So much wasted potential. So much what could have been. How much money could he have made? But when his mother got his Bible back, there were three dates listed in the front of his Bible. And the first date was near the time where he renounced his fortune. And there were two words next to that date, and it said, "No reserve." In other words, I'm not holding anything back. Near the point where his father told him that he would never work in the company and that he would never inherit any of the wealth of the company, he wrote two more words, and it said, "No retreat. I'm not looking back." And then, right before his death, he wrote two more words, and it said this: "No regrets." I want to tell you, it's worth following Jesus. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let any relationship, don't let any material object rob you of the eternal reward of following Jesus. It might not look like it's worth it now, but I guarantee you, if you would talk to any of the disciples and the apostles who gave their life for this gospel, and if we could have a live feed in heaven today, they would say, "Oh yeah, it's worth it. Hang in there. Keep going. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep obeying. Keep following Jesus. Don't look back and don't turn around." Somebody stand on your feet right now. Let's clap our hands to God. Let's thank Him for His grace and His mercy. And I'm going to do something different today. This might get a little awkward and uncomfortable. But if you're here today, you must say, "I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ." I want you to walk up here. "God, you have my money. You have my life. You have my relationships. You have my time. You have my energy. God, I'm committing my life to you. I'm following you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to love you with my whole heart." If you're drawing a line in the sand today, I want to tell you, God honors faith. Don't think that we're wasting time and I'm just trying to get people to the altar. I want you to make a real decision in your life right now that I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it cost me. Why? Because I found a treasure in a field. Thank you, Jesus. Just this week, I talked to a man. He's only been coming here a few weeks. And he said, I never knew that church could be like this. He said, I always grew up and, you know, God was all about, you know, showing up at the right building at the right time so he'll be happy with us. I never knew that it could be so real. And I want to tell you that God wants to have a real relationship with you. And it's worth it. That is what matters more than anything else. Now let's lift up our hands all over this place. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would bless every person, Lord, who had the guts to walk up here and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm giving him my life. God, I pray in Jesus' name, anoint them. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would fall upon them. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, Lord, that we would be blessed when we're persecuted. Lord, I pray against fear, God. I pray boldness would come upon us because this world needs us to be a witness, God, that there is a God and there are people who follow him, Lord, and that you still move upon us and you still change lives by the power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. If you want everything God has for you, why don't you just stretch your hands high right now and say, Lord, I want you. God, I want you. I want you in my life. I want you in my family. I want you in my finances. I want you in my church. Lord Jesus, we want you, God, more than anything, God. Lord, no cost is too great. No cost is too heavy. Lord, because you are the treasure. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to focus. In the Bible, when people identified themselves as being followers of Jesus, the first thing they did was to be baptized. We're getting ready to do a baptism right now. And you know what? It's a five-year-old. Yeah, you can clap. We're getting ready to baptize a five-year-old little girl who for months has bothered and pestered her parents and cried and said, I want to get baptized because I want to follow Jesus. How many know that Jesus said, suffer not the children to come unto me? I want to ask you, if a five-year-old can know that, I meant five, not ten. If a five-year-old can know that, what's stopping you? Today's the day. Draw the line in the sand. Go all in Jesus' name. Let's lift up our hands as we begin to sing. How many's found a love today that nothing compares to it? Thank you, Jesus.